Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Simon Gear, climatologist and a national authority on global warming and green issues. Simon, so good to talk to you again.
Good afternoon. Nice to chat.
And thank you all for making time. Much appreciated. Simon, COP27, what is this? Why is it important?
Yeah, so I mean, I remember going to COP17, which was at Durban. So COP stands for Congress of the Parties, and it's the big annual climate change meeting that the United Nations organize. They don't only have United Nations, I mean, climate change ones. There's also a biodiversity COP that happens every year. But this one that we're talking about is the is the climate change one. So it's the 27th iteration of this. And it's essentially a global meeting to discuss the world's response to climate change.
So this happens annually, and this year it's in Egypt.
Yeah, so they go through stages of importance. So there are some years where there really is a big drive for a big agreement, and other years where they're really just tinkering previous agreements. But this is in a place called Sharm el-Sheikh, which is, I've actually been there. It's off to the east of Cairo, so the eastern outskirts of Cairo. It's basically a modern created city, and they have a lot of these conferences out there, and it's sort of completely devoid of any soul. It's a little bit like having a conference at Monte Cassino, if you can imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. And so reading up on it, it says the COP27, the 27th conference of the parties, the countries that signed up to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. Maybe can you tell us a bit more about this? What actually is it?
Okay, so essentially, most of the world's countries have signed up on this for this convention on climate change, which is recognizing that climate change is a major problem, an existential threat to humanity, in fact, and that we need to be doing something about it. And that's the easy bit. And then from there on, it gets progressively more complicated, because the problem with climate change is that the solution is global. And so South Africa could become the greenest, most energy efficient, perfect country on the planet, and we would still be reaping the effects of climate change from all of the other pollution that's being put out everywhere else. So it's really, really important that the whole world takes action together. And then you have issues of geographic justice, where the global south have generally been recipients of climate change impacts, but not necessarily reaped the benefits of burning all of the fossil fuel that Europe and North America did over the previous 150 years. So there's a lot of debates around, well, how should that be managed? Do we stop countries like, Equatorial Africa from being able to develop properly? What sort of compensation do they get in turn?
It's actually quite interesting. I mean, do they actually reach agreement and then obviously finalize it, and then it's carried through and then measured and monitored for the next year?
Yeah, so I mean, this is a 12-month-a-year process, but obviously this is where all the big decision makers come together and actually try and get signatures on the page, as it were. And there have, there was the Paris Accord from, I think, well, that was back in Barack Obama's time, where he actually made a point of showing up at the thing, and that was probably the last major agreement. But there have been other important agreements around finance and so on since then. And now what we're doing is really tinkering with those and trying to make sure that the finance is in place. Those often require continual updating of agreements. And also chasing countries to see why they haven't necessarily been paying their dues into this.
And I believe that our President Ramaphosa is there.
So it's quite, South Africa are very much recipients in this whole equation. We are recognized, in fact, we're fairly unique in that we are heavy polluters with Sasol and Eskom, both being very, very coal-based. But we're also considered a developing country. So we are often on the recipient side in terms of technology and so on. And what a lot of this funding goes to is things like financing countries like us to be able to move away from fossil fuels. So it's a very, very important meeting for South Africans to attend, for the South African government to attend.
And I see that President Ramaphosa, he's looking to secure funding of 154 billion rand.
Yeah, the numbers here are absolutely eye-watering.
Yeah, I mean, that's $8.5 billion. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, the what we're looking at is to restructure our entire power grid. You know, that would be the long-term expectation from the COP, from the UN Convention on Climate Change, and that obviously is a generational project. And so when you see those very, very insanely high numbers, those are the sort of projects that we're looking at. So this is long-term financing. This is not individual World Bank deals. This is an entire climate of helping South Africa to move to a greener future.
Yeah, to transition away from coal, in other words.
Exactly.
Yeah, and what I find quite ironic is President Ramaphosa, he's co-chairing a high-level roundtable on a just energy transition. So, I mean, is he suitably qualified to be co-chairing this discussion?
South Africans are world leaders in the concept of justice, for sure, social justice. We have the best constitution in the world. We, as a country, have spent more time applying our mind to righting historical wrongs than I think any other country you can name. And so we're often quite well regarded in these sort of debates as to how do you compensate a third world country for the wrongs, the historical wrongs of a first world country. So I think that's probably the tack that South Africa's taking here.
And lastly, why are some people and regions more vulnerable than others to climate change, particularly Africa?
So essentially, the poorer the country you are, the less able you are to import food. And so you are more vulnerable to variability in your climate. And as a result, if Europe has a difficult season, they just import more grain. Whereas if the Sudan has a difficult season, people starve to death. And so it's that vulnerability to climate change. It doesn't necessarily mean you have more climate change impacts in your country, but your vulnerability to it is far higher.
Absolutely. And even I can understand that. Simon Gier, climatologist and a national authority on global warming and green issues. Simon, thank you for that informative discussion. And at least now I think we've got a good idea of what COP27 is and why it is so important to us.